Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you. I'm pleased to welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, the minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we're delighted to bring you this broadcast through the medium of CJMQ. Last week, I was in St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Inverness, for their 185th anniversary, and was pleased to meet some folks who follow the Word of Grace, but who had never met me face to face. To them and to all who have not seen my face, I say greetings. You can find me face-to-face most Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke, or you can at least see me on our YouTube and Facebook channels. Today is the day after Orange Shirt Day, and we shall reflect on some of those themes in our thoughts. But here's words from Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us up as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Morning is the love, our waking and love.
Let us pray. All-encompassing God, you who called creation out of chaos, you spoke the word and all came to be. You breathed your spirit and life came into being. Your splendor is a holy mystery that we are too human to be able to comprehend. And so we give thanks for that which is beyond our comprehension. It allows us to dream and to imagine, and we give you all praise and glory to you for holding us all in the seasons of our days, loving us, cherishing us in this life, and by faith in Jesus Christ, his cross and resurrection, in everlasting love. We are in awe of your covenanted love and journey with you. When we fall short of the mark, when our frustrations take over and lead us to anger, help us to reach back to you, to find your peace, and to know that our help is in your name. For the thoughts that we have that go against you, for the words we use against others that cause hurt and bitterness, let us take comfort in knowing your love is greater than all of our errors, and we thank you that our help is in your name. In times of distress, when our fears engulf us, when we feel unable to cope with the challenges that lie before us, be our shield, be our strength, be the reminder that our help is in your name. Lord of heaven and earth, we give you thanks that through everything we face, you are on our side. We are not swept away. Our snares will be broken because our help is in your name. Amen. Yesterday was Orange Shirt Day. The loss of an orange shirt was by no means the worst thing that happened to an Indigenous child in the Indian residential school system, but it has become symbolic of all that was taken from the children: their language, culture, family and community relationships, safety, security, identity, and sometimes even their lives. It has been described as a cultural genocide. In our reading today from Exodus 2, we read how one mother sought to save her child from another genocide. Now, a man from the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Thank you. In the first chapter of the book of Exodus that we looked at last week, we discovered that the then king of Egypt enslaved the Hebrew people. He was afraid. There were so many of them, and he was frightened that they would take over the country. So he enslaved them and forced them into hard and oppressive labor. And furthermore, in order to decrease their numbers, he ordered the midwives who delivered their babies to kill every boy child that was born. But the female children were permitted to live. However, the midwives lied to Pharaoh and let all of the children live. So when that didn't work, Pharaoh ordered his own people to throw every Hebrew male child that was born into the Nile River. It was under these conditions that Moses was born. For 3 months, his mother managed to hide him. Perhaps she dressed him as a girl, concealed his sex when she cleaned him, or kept him a secret completely. By whatever means, she had been able to hide him for 3 months, but she could hide him no longer. If giving birth and hiding a baby wasn't courageous enough, what Moses' mother did next was incredible. When it became evident that she could no longer conceal her son, she wheeled a basket of bulrush weeds and placed the basket in the Nile River. The river that had been meant for his death became the means for his life. Why did Moses' mother do what she did? Was there a plan to retrieve the lad at some other point? Or was it an act of desperate hope? Or was there? Was there somewhere in the story faith woven into it, that somehow God would preserve her child as he floated down the Nile River? I'd like to think that it was an act of faith, that somewhere in her a lamp of faith was burning which said, God will find a way. How many indigenous mothers in times past lost their children to residential schools and would have sought a way out and a way forward? And we grieve for the errors of those days. But for Moses, it certainly paid off, because the child was discovered by none other than Pharaoh's daughter, who, having a compassion unknown to her father, brought the child home to the palace and raised him as her own. And in an ironic twist, typical of the true and living God, the child's birth mother was employed to nurse him and was indeed paid for the privilege. Pharaoh's daughter called the boy Moses, which means drawn out, because she said, I drew him out of the water. Who are you in this story? Where do you see yourself? We acknowledge that in times past, the Canadian government, supported by many churches, played the part of Pharaoh, engaged in a program to eradicate the cultural and spiritual life of the indigenous people. And we grieve for the cultural genocide that was enacted in that place and at that time. Are you perhaps Moses' mother? Is there someone in your life whose faith you can give birth to? As parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and adult role models for children and youth in our churches and in our families, do you do all you can within your power to give birth to their faith in Jesus Christ, to reinforce Jesus' love for them? Are you perhaps as Moses' sister? Through your presence, do you communicate your desires and hopes to the lives you may touch? If you're given the opportunity to see that someone receives the nurture and nourishment of the love of God, will you act upon that opportunity and help that person find a home with Jesus Christ? Maybe you are as Pharaoh's daughter, and maybe there's someone who needs to receive unconditional love from you. Maybe there's someone who needs to be rescued from chaotic waters. Maybe there's someone who needs to know they matter to God, no matter who they are or what they may have done, and you are the person who can share that with them. Maybe somebody from the indigenous or the immigrant communities. Maybe there's someone you know who needs to know that they have a home and a family here with you. Maybe in the life of your church and congregation, a life with Jesus. Or maybe you are as the infant Moses. Maybe you have been afloat on chaotic waters too long. Maybe you are deserving of death, but you so desperately want to live. Maybe you find yourself hopeless and helpless, dependent upon the actions of others to save you, desperately need of a savior. Pharaoh's daughter called the lad Moses, meaning drawing out. Ultimately, though, it was God who was doing the drawing out. It may not have seemed so when later the young prince fled Egypt as a fugitive to the land of Midian and took refuge as a member of a shepherd's household. But however, in due course of time, God showed his hand and revealed his name and sent Moses back to Egypt to draw out the children of Israel. What God did for Moses in drawing him out of the Nile, God through Moses would do for the children of Israel. He would draw them out. He would rescue and save them. The Lord saw no reason to change the name of Moses from that which Pharaoh's daughter had given him. Drawn out he was, and drawing out was what he would do. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's in John chapter 6, verse 44. God is the one who draws us out today. Just as Moses was rescued from the Nile, we are rescued from death. And God promises that all who believe and are baptized into the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be saved. Jesus said, "No one can come to me except he was given to him by my Father."
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service due to him belongs.
Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today.
Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are a God of strength, of hope, and of mercy. You never leave or abandon us. We thank you for the faithfulness you show towards us when we have not earned it. We thank you that you are constant, good, and true. You do not leave us. We thank you that you've always been with your people, giving them comfort and guidance. You were with your people in Egypt, shining hope in the injustice of tyranny and hopelessness. You are with your people as they have struggled as a kingdom, bringing deliverance and grace. You are with your people in the early church as they stepped out in faith, giving them courage and direction. Lord, we thank you that you are the same God who walks with us in our challenging times, giving us comfort, grace, and hope. God, give us courage to step out in faith, to live the lives you have called us to, and not the one the world tells us to. God, give us the grace to recognize our need for support and not think we're better than others, but rather to live fully embraced by your undeserved grace. Powerful Christ, we are grateful that you came to us as a child who grew out of a community that nurtured support and taught you the way of your ancestors. And you have asked us to do the same, to treat every child as we would treat you, to love every person as you have loved us. We are grateful that your power is rooted in love, not force. Your strength is displayed through community, not might. You have taught us to work toward a better world where all of creation thrives and where every child matters. We grieve the stolen childhood of all the children forcibly raised by church-run institutions known as residential schools, and we lament how those institutions stole children from the opportunity to grow in a safe and loving environment, stole from elders the opportunity to share their teachings and wisdom with younger generations, and stole from communities the opportunity to live intergenerationally. Lord Jesus, may your teachings lead us all to speak the same language of loving you, ourselves, and our neighbours. Gentle people's harsh feelings and opinions. Restore our gratitude and refresh our faith. Grant us dreams of unity and harmony. May your light and love encircle and envelop us all as we rest in the promise of your goodness. Living Spirit, in your life of your family, all are one in Christ Jesus. Help us model it in our world, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Well, my buddies asked me if I would write them a song that says how we're different, but how good we all get along. Well, Bob, he's a Baptist, and his wife, she's Cherokee. And Larry, he's a Lutheran, and his granddaddy is Greek. Well, Paul, he's Pentecostal, and his pastor prays for the sick. And Russ, his dad is a rabbi, but we go hunt and go fish. Well, Carl, he's a Catholic boy, and his daddy fought in the war. And Joe's mom from Lebanon, and he knows he believes in the Lord. He believes in one big God and one big heaven, 'cause that's when we all want going. Well, Daddy played his guitar in churches all over the South, and Mama played piano, and sometimes she'd sing and shout. sisters sing all together and brought the harmony out.
They sing about one big God and one big heaven.
One big heaven.
'Cause that's where we all want to be going. For me, I'm a believer, and I believe that all God's children, as far as I can see,
just need one big God and one big heaven.
That's where
we all want to be going. And one big God and one big heaven.
Just save a little space for me.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.